Well, good morning. It's a privilege to be able to come this morning and share with you what's on my heart about pastors. This is Pastor Appreciation Month worldwide, and it is 1 month a year that someone decided, and it's probably a pastor, that, hey, it'd be a great idea if we had a time where we recognized our pastors, and I agree with that. So, I told Sherry Greenwood, she's next door along with some other volunteers that were getting things ready for our dinner that we're doing for Pastor Appreciation Day and Communion. It's a combo dinner here. And I said, well, I'll be done probably sometime between 11:30 and 11:45. And here it is, 11:23, so strap in and let's get going. What I will share with you this morning isn't meant to solicit any kind of pity on behalf of Pastor Jeff. You know, he didn't ask me and say, hey, Keith, would you speak on Pastor Appreciation Day and say nice things about me or anything like that? He didn't do that. I told him, I said, listen, it's Pastor Appreciation Day. I really would like to share some things with the good people at Bethel, and if you would allow me to do that. And he said, well, certainly you can do that. So what I'm going to share this morning is meant to inform us of the type of people that we are to be as members of this body. Okay, how many know that we can all do better? Okay, if you're not raising your hand, see me after church. I want your secret. We can all do better. And, I think we can do better as members of the body of Christ in serving the Lord and in following the pastoral leadership of Pastor Jeff. Pastoring is a difficult and demanding role. I don't see people just signing up for this. In fact, just the opposite. There's more dropping out than joining and signing up. If approached properly, it isn't done for money. It isn't done for fame, notoriety, and recognition. It's done from a humble heart and a kind heart of love and compassion for the people of God and for those who don't know Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It is a calling that few have the fortitude to handle and fulfill. I'm just telling you, it is not an easy thing. And as the bearer of God's word, the pastor has a great responsibility and is subject to vast criticism that few are willing to tolerate or endure. That's just the facts of it. I bet you I could bring Pastor Temple up here, who pastored, senior pastor, for 48 years, and he could tell you, and he would unequivocally say, yes, Keith, you are absolutely right. Yet the pastor moves forward in love and non-judgment to care for the people of God. When attacked, he loves. When criticized, he listens. And when it comes to teaching the Word of God, the pastor has the most solemn responsibility. You have to understand, a true pastor's focus is the kingdom of God and not the kingdoms of this world. A true pastor's focus is the kingdom of God and not the kingdoms of this world. Their allegiance is to the Lord. Amen. And to what he tells him to do or she to do. Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. We shouldn't expect anything less from our pastor, nor from ourselves, for that matter. Don't do anything except what the Father tells you to do. Don't say anything except what the Father tells you to do. How many know we can all do better? I raise my hands. Don't misunderstand what I share with you this morning. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul and see how he handled criticism and praise. And in doing this, I'm in no way trying to compare Pastor Jeff to the Apostle Paul. Don't mistake that. I'm simply trying to show us how that those in ministry face different situations and how we as a congregation can treat them. I want to first look at someone who opposed the apostles and teachers of the early church. And I had a chance this morning, it just so happened that in my Sunday school class, I'm teaching from 3 John. And so I had a chance this morning to share with my class some words that John wrote in an epistle to his friend and fellow worker, Gaius. And in 3 John chapter, there's only one chapter, but in 3 John verse 9 and 10, he writes about a man by the name of Diotrephes. And here's what he says, here's what John says about him. He says, I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so, and he puts them out of the church. So this is a man whom the Apostle John had to deal with. And he identifies this man with some several unbecoming characteristics. This is a man in the church. He says one thing is that he loves to be first among them. He wants to be the top dog. He wants to be the big guy. He wants to tell the pastor what to do. I give the most money, I ought to be able to tell pastor what to do. Isn't that how it works? I get a head shake from the front row. It's not how it works. This is absolutely and completely contrary to what Paul and Jesus himself taught. We are to be humble, putting ourselves before others, and desiring and not desiring the first position, but rather desiring the last position. Just quickly, and I'll be sharing these verses with you too, if you're staying for communion. I'll be sharing these verses in communion. In Philippians chapter 2, we have these words from Paul to the Philippian church. Beginning in verse 3, he says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Let me see the hands of the people that can do that. Regarding everyone else as more important than you. Verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Diotrephes loved to be first. John, another unbecoming characteristic is he doesn't accept what John and the other apostles say, even though they were with Jesus. He unjustly accuses them with wicked words. We need to be careful about the words that we use. Words are powerful. Are we unjustly accusing someone? Are we unjustly criticizing? There's nothing wrong with criticism handled correctly, but are we unjustly criticizing the pastor? Are we telling the pastor that what we think he should be teaching? Are we telling him that we think we hear from God more than he does? That is his responsibility, to hear from God and to listen to God and follow God. I'm giving you all the negative first. We're going to get to the good stuff here in just a second. This was pastoring and teaching 101 from Pastor Temple. You always start with the bad and then you come back with the good. John said he also doesn't receive the brethren, and that he forbids others to receive them. If they do, he will put them out of the church. So this was someone in the church that just was a real heavy-handed dictator, Diotrephes. Wanted to run everything, wanted to tell everybody what to do. You get the picture of this type of person, who he is. He's in the church, yet he isn't honoring to the Apostle John, and he really isn't, he's just causing problems. He's rebuking John. Don't be a Diotrephes. That's not a good look. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Let's talk about the delightful Onesiphorus. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, 17, and 18. Now, let me tell you this. Many years ago, it's probably been 30 years, and Anita would know better when Brother Braddock was our overseer for the Church of God, because you worked for him. But he came to our church, and he preached during Pastor Appreciation Day from this text that I'm getting ready to read to you. That message stuck with me all these years, and I've never preached from this text. I've never went back to it, except when getting ready for this message, I went back to that text that I remember from 30 years ago. How many of you remember a text from a pastor that preached something 30 years ago? There's a few of you. Something changed your life. But here's what Paul wrote to Timothy. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. Onesiphorus. I think the King James reads, he oft refreshed me. Paul prayed that the Lord would grant mercy to this gentleman's household because he often refreshed him. Here are some of the delightful characteristics of this man. He refreshed Paul. Now, what does that mean? Well, I have an idea. I am a sweater. And when I work outside, I get sweaty, dirty, stinky, and I get parched. And I get so busy that I don't stop and even get a drink. And when I finally do stop, I'll go inside, and it's so nice in the air conditioning. I go inside and I pour myself a nice big glass of iced tea. And I drink it right there at the sink, and then I pour another one. And then I go sit down with a towel, a wet towel, and I start wiping my sweat and dirt off my face and my arms, because if I've been weed eating, I have mud everywhere. And I drink my tea. And I let the cool air, if it's outside, hit me in the shade, or I'll sit in a chair under the ceiling fan in the air conditioning and just refreshed. I feel better. This word's only used one time in the Bible, and that's in this instance. It means to cool again, to cool off, to recover from the effects of heat, to refresh one's spirit, to recover breath, to take the air, to cool off, to revive and refresh oneself. You see, Onesiphorus was a delight to Paul, not a drag. Onesiphorus was that one that Paul wanted to see him, not, oh, I can't go see that person because they're going to complain about something again. He was a delight, refreshed Paul. No doubt Paul looked forward to seeing Onesiphorus because he refreshed him. Onesiphorus wasn't ashamed of Paul in any way. He said, he's not ashamed of my chains. Even though I get thrown in jail, he doesn't care. It's not an affront to him. He looked for Paul in Rome, no doubt to find a way to minister to him. He ministered to Paul. Paul says in that last verse, he says, and you know very well what services he rendered to me at Ephesus. To minister means to be the servant, an attendant, domestic, to serve, wait upon. It's important for us to find ways to refresh our pastor. Refresh Pastor Jeff. Ways that we can serve and help in the ministry. He's not looking for someone to serve him. He wants you to come alongside of him and let's serve the Lord together. Let's do this together. Let's work this out hand in hand. Pastoring is not easy. You see, Pastor Jeff is not a hired hand. Many of you have jobs that you will leave at the end of the day and you will go home and relax and do whatever you like. You have the weekends off. He works every weekend. He's a 24/7 guy. If you have called me on Thursdays, that Thursdays are our days off here at the church, except Pastor Jeff, he comes in on Thursdays because it's quiet. But if you've called me on Thursdays, many of you, the first thing that you'll say is, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot today was your day off. And I'm like, no, it's fine. You know, what do you need? And I know Pastor Temple's the same way. So what I'm saying is that we're not hired hands. He is not a hired hand. He doesn't clock out at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock and clock in at 6, 7 or 8. He's always available. You see, there's a difference between a hired hand and a shepherd. Jesus makes this clear in John chapter 10, verse 11 through 13. It reads, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Verse 13, he flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I'm not comparing Pastor Jeff to Jesus here. I know the context in which this is Jesus is speaking here. And that is that Jesus is the good shepherd and he lays down his life for the sheep. But there is a principle at play here that is important for us to understand and to grasp. In verse 12, Jesus differentiates between the hired hand and the shepherd. The hired hand will see the wolf coming and will run away because he doesn't own the sheep. Therefore, he really doesn't care for them with the care and love that an owner shepherd would have. And because he doesn't care, he allows the wolf to come in and snatch away and scatter them, and he doesn't lift a hand to stop it. Pastor Jeff's not a hired hand. He is the shepherd of this flock, this local group. He loves us. He's not going to allow wolves to come in. You see, today there are wolves in sheep's clothing. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 15 through 20. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Jesus warned us about these wolves in sheep's clothing. He called them false prophets and warned his followers to beware of them. You see, there are those out there today who would love nothing more than to snatch you away and scatter you. And it is Pastor Jeff's responsibility to stand in the way of the wolves that come to scatter by speaking truth to power and warn us of the deceitfulness of the false prophets. He's not just a hired hand. He is God's chosen vessel to bring you the truth of the gospel of the kingdom, not some hyped up word attacking the government, nor confirming some conspiracy theory on QAnon as it spreads through the internet. It's not his job to get up here on Sunday morning and share with you the latest thing that he has read on Facebook or the internet. Amen! Nor is it his job to attack the church down the street that has a different doctrine or to preach like the person that you've seen on the TV or the internet. His job is to share with us the truth of the gospel of the kingdom. Period. That's it. Pastor Jeff knows that as the body of Christ, we don't fit into this world's systems. We don't operate like the world operates. Thank God. We are here in this world, but we are not of this world. We are citizens of a different realm. We are part of a different kingdom, and we show forth the qualities and the characteristics of the kingdom of God. As the Lord's children and his soldiers in his service, the service of his kingdom, we don't entangle ourselves in the affairs of everyday life. Paul warns Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3, he says, "Suffer hardship with me, Timothy, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." No soldier is in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Those things of this world and this world's systems are therefore below the affairs of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom, the world's kingdom. And when we elevate these things above this, we make a grave mistake. Since Pastor Jeff is more than a hired hand, he's not going to allow the false prophets to come in and scatter the flock. You see, he must give an account to God as one who watches for your souls. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. As pastor, he is willing to, as Paul told the Corinthians, he was willing to do it, spend and be spent. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Here for this third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours but you. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. Is that right, Mom? Paul says in verse 15, I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. The King James says, spend and be spent, I think how it reads. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? Let's be an Onesiphorus, one who refreshes, not a Diotrephes, who's more prone to rebuke than refresh. That's what we want to be.